Hello and welcome to the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, as we guide you through Championship Sunday. That's right. Sadly, just three games left in the National Football League season, but we're here today to talk about the AFC and NFC championship games, which we will get to shortly, and a whole lot more here on the newest edition of the JMRA podcast. You could check us out on social media at Joe M's Right Arm on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, I should offer an apology. I'm an idiot because one of my friends alerted me to this, and I'd seen it happening, but I couldn't figure out how to make this stop. The posts from JoeMontanasRightArm.com had been doubling and tripling and crazy things, so I had to go in there, and I was alerted to this by one of my cohorts, one of my friends, who told me, "Hey, I'm getting your stuff here three times," and I think it's been happening for a while now. I check my Twitter feed, but obviously, I'm not scanning it crazily to see if I'm posting things three times. So I apologize. That has been remedied. Yeah, I think you have to post. This is a whole other discussion for another day, but I think you have to post a post at least twice, but not all at the same time. That's another discussion for another day. But anyways, thank you very much to my good buddy, Kaz. Thank you, sir. Anyhow, a couple of things to go over here. Again, social media, as we said, we gave you the Twitter handle at Joe M's Right Arm. On the blog, JoeMontanasRightArm.com. Trying to hammer through the next couple of weeks here because, of course, you have what's to come here in the next few days. And then you have the week in between the championship games and the Super Bowl, which is always bizarro land because a lot of the NFL stories kind of run to a standstill once you get to the middle of the week. And people, it's too early to talk about the Super Bowl matchup per se, like in nuts and bolts terms, on a Tuesday after the title games, because then you have not only that week, then you have the game week as well. So a lot of stuff will be cranking away there with on the blog, hopefully in the next week and change, to kind of get you amped up and ready to go for Super Bowl number 50 headed your way here on February the 7th. Anyhow, you can check us out on Facebook as well, Joe Montana's Right Arm, and on Vine and all kinds of stuff. This is going to be a weird weekend, unfortunately, because of how my schedule played out work-wise and how the NFL schedule played out. Typically, I have off during the conference championship games. I don't. Further mucking up matters is the fact that there's supposed to be about 18 inches of snow where I am in South Jersey. So I may be live blogging the AFC title game. I don't know. I don't know where I'll be on Sunday. I'll be doing something related to sports. That's all I can tell you. But other than that, I will be live tweeting the events of Sunday throughout probably. I should be done work, I think, by the start of the second quarter of the AFC championship game, and of course I'll be there to see whatever monstrosity it is for the NFC title game. And by the way, weather permitting, I'm having a get together at my home on Sunday where on one television will be the Royal Rumble and then on the other TV will be the NFC championship game, which, by the way, I wrote at least for me these days, a somewhat sizable post about the WWE going up against the NFL and what a colossal error it is on their part, because it makes just, you don't go, I don't care what you think about Roger Goodell, you don't go against the NFL in terms of a competition for an audience. It's just not going to work at all. Anyhow, a couple of things I want to get to here before we really amp up on taking a look at these individual games. Some of the storylines coming into this weekend, a Championship Sunday, and I think this is going to be a very telling weekend, not just for this season, of course, but I think really for the history of football as we know it right now from a few standpoints. Going into this weekend, typically for the title games, you get one good game and one kind of blasé blah game. And I'm not saying both of these games are going to be, you know, these five-star specials and you're going to get a tomato can or whatever. But I think there's certainly an opportunity here to see one of these teams stink on Sunday. And I would not be shocked to see one of these teams lay an egg. because I think all of the ingredients are there with these collection of quarterbacks for somebody to come out and get their doors blown off. And I don't think either game will be a blowout, but if you told me that one of these two games was won by two or three scores, I would not be shocked. Do I think it will play out that way? Not necessarily, but we'll get to the prediction certainly in a little bit. But as far as historically goes, you know, win or lose here over the next couple of weeks, I think we're obviously seeing some sort of end game here for Peyton Manning. And, you know, I've been over the years on the blog and, you know, behind the scenes, off the microphone, off the keyboard to my friends, I've been as strong of a critic of the handling of Peyton Manning's aura and legacy as anybody, because I think people go too over the top with him. And you look, I have the utmost respect for him as a football player. I was an intern for the radio station that covers the Eagles, and I had a chance to be on the field while Peyton Manning was warming up and going through his machinations with Marvin Harrison, Edgerrin James, when he was in his second year in the league. So I get who he is. I totally respect the type of football player that he is. But I think from the perspective of Sunday, I think we're seeing maybe the end of the line for a guy who didn't quite, I don't want to say he didn't live up to expectations, because statistically he's the greatest quarterback ever when you look at, you know, yards and touchdown pass, all that statistical stuff that, you know, you look at in the record books. He's the best to ever do it from that side of it by the numbers. But I think if this is the end for him, I think there's a chance it's not going to end well. And I think also there's got to be some regret here. And I don't know if it's going to come from his side. I'm sure he'd love to win more championships, but I think it's definitely going to come from the media, because, you know, he retires here with one Super Bowl ring in a society where we constantly bend over backwards to talk about how great guys are who have rings. That's the discussion. Rings. Is your franchise any good? Well, you don't have any rings, so shut up. That's the conversation. That's the society we live in as it relates to the NFL. And, you know, if he loses this game on Sunday, even if he wins and doesn't win the Super Bowl, you know, this is a guy who I think is going to have a very weird end to his career. I think people will look at him certainly as one of the all-time greats. But what he came to Denver as, a guy who was coming off of neck surgery, and when he became MVP, and to see it kind of evolve into this guy who is not very good on the field is weird. And I think, you know, the end of the line for him on Sunday could very well be there, so that will be one of the key storylines moving forward. I think also from the New England side in that game, I mean, what do you say about a team that could potentially go to another Super Bowl? And we haven't really talked too much about the Patriots repeating. That's one thing that hasn't come up a ton this year with the Patriots, you know, outside of Boston, is the fact that this team has a chance to repeat and become the first team since the Patriots did it in 03 and 04 to do that. If they win, that would be the seventh Super Bowl appearance for Tom Brady, which is just bananas. And the same for Bill Belichick as a head coach with the Patriots, which I think puts, you know, a lot of people love to have. I've actually been asked by a few people about this, you know, who's the greatest quarterback of all time and all this other stuff as it relates to the greatness level of Brady and Belichick. You know, under the circumstances, how could you feel anything different other than these guys are either the greatest of all time at their respective coach and quarterback spots, or damn near close? I don't see how you can argue it any other way. If they get to a seventh Super Bowl, and God forbid, if they ever win this, holy ghost, you're talking about some just iconic, legendary stuff. If they can somehow sift through all of the nonsense that they've gone through in the last 12 months and come away with it with another Super Bowl and repeat, Woof. Ah, man. That's going to be some epic stuff to talk about and experience over the next couple of weeks. I know the Patriot haters out there don't want to hear about that stuff, but that would be absolutely fantastic if that took place. If you're a football fan and they pull that off, good grief. You are watching royalty. That's what you're watching. You're watching football royalty. And whether you like it or you don't like it, you've got to appreciate it. You've got to. If they win the Super Bowl this year, there are no excuses. You're out of excuses. You're out of Spygate. You're out of Deflategate. You're out of, Brady needed a kicker to help him win. All that crap goes out the window. You don't have any more excuses. You don't have any more excuses now anyways. But you really won't have any excuses if they somehow get to a seventh Super Bowl and then win it, which there's a lot of football to be played before we can have that discussion. But still, that would be a remarkable accomplishment. Then from the NFC side of it with Arizona, I think, look, if you're the Cardinals, this game comes down to one thing, and we'll get into it in a little more detail coming up when we talk about that game. Is Carson Palmer Arizona Carson Palmer or Cincinnati Bengals Carson Palmer on Sunday in Charlotte? That to me is the big deal, because he comes out and plays a lackluster game again like he did last week against Green Bay. You're really in a weird spot if you're the Cardinals, because you have now seen that this guy kind of can't handle the heat in big games. And he hasn't played in a lot of playoff games. This is a guy who's been in the league for over a decade now and really getting his first real live taste of playoff football. And the first time you really go through it significantly, remember he had that injury against the Steelers back in at the end of the 05 season where the Steelers end up winning that Super Bowl against Seattle. You don't really get an experience in the playoffs outside of throwing that one pass to Chris Henry. Other than that, this is it for him. So, the jitters and the inexperience, I think we're seeing that definitely from him. And if Arizona is going to win, he's got to play better. There's no doubt about that. And then, of course, Carolina. Is it their time? We saw a couple of years ago with Seattle, it was their time. We saw previously to that San Francisco on the NFC side, it was their time. You get the sense, watching Carolina last week, despite the shenanigans in the second half, you're 15-1. This is set up for you to go to the Super Bowl. You're 15-1 now, 16-1, and you lose at home in the NFC title game. How many times are you going to be 16-1 hosting the NFC championship game with a chance to go to the Super Bowl? That doesn't come up a lot. So a lot at stake here from the storyline perspective and as far as the narratives go in these games and afterwards. So exciting to get to these games on Sunday. And we'll start it out with the AFC title game, New England at Denver, 3:05 Eastern time start on CBS. You got Nance and Sims calling that game, which I was talking to my brother earlier, and I said, will there be a better television moment this year? Well, actually, there is. I just thought of it, which I'll get to in a second. How many TV moments are going to be better than Jim Nance and Phil Sims calling Denver against Carolina in the Super Bowl? The reaction of Nance and Sims seeing everybody's hero, Captain America, Peyton Manning, one last ride in the Super Bowl, going against Cam Newton, the guy who dabs and celebrates and opens up the shirt for the S for Superman, all that stuff, going against Johnny Cleancut. Man, I think that will be, hearing them describe the action for that game is enough to just, I will just put that on closed caption. That's going to be spectacular. That game's going to be a horrible football game if it happens, but just the nonsense that will take place on the field, and then Nance and Sims will have to translate that out to the audience. Oh my God. I almost want that game to happen. Almost. Anyhow, Denver and New England will open it up on CBS at 3:05. First for New England, I think, you know, the key is the victory for them. People forget that game in November where they lost after being 10-0. They lost to Denver in overtime 30-24. There are a lot of guys missing, actually, from both teams, not just for New England. The Patriots were without Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, and then, of course, Rob Gronkowski got hurt late in the game. That's the game where when Brady starts losing guys, he starts doing weird stuff. He starts throwing the ball deep to receivers randomly, and we saw that a little bit with Brandon LaFell throwing deep, and, you know, he hit Brandon Bolden on a long pass play downfield that actually led to a touchdown off the pass to Bolden. So they hit some things downfield, but wasn't the usual Patriots offense that we've come to see a lot of. And, you know, I think one of the keys for New England is, in fact, having an answer for Denver when they try to disrupt the timing of the Patriots' quick passing scheme, because that's what they're going to try to do. I would think if you're Denver, you're going to try to load up with the defensive backs, force the Patriots to run, or make it extremely difficult for them to thrive with a short passing game. Wade Phillips has struggled in his career against Tom Brady. We'll see if he can cook something up for TB12 on Sunday. Obviously, turnovers made a huge difference in that game in November, especially in special teams. Obviously, the Patriots are going to have to be on their P's and Q's there. There was a report that came out middle of the week that Matthew Slater, the special teams ace of the Patriots, was out and going to miss the game with a shin injury. And then moments later, there was an alert sent out. I think it was sent out by ESPN that said the team accidentally reported that. So I don't know what's going on there. That seems kind of weird, but we'll see. The Patriots injury report has been loaded the last couple of weeks. So I would be shocked, actually, if Slater was not playing. A lot of guys here in this game, you've got to be seriously injured, you would think, if they're not going to be out there to play. But to me, ultimately, this game comes down to one thing. You would think that New England is going to find a way to get to 20 points, 21, 24 points in this contest. The key here is simple. It is the Denver running game. That's the whole thing to me for this New England defense. If New England can slow down that running game of the Broncos, I think they're going to be successful on Sunday. They ran for 179 yards and 3 touchdowns. You can't have a replay of that at all. They had issues with stretch plays to the outside. C.J. Anderson had a big day, over 100 yards rushing, 15 carries, 113 yards as a part of that near 200-yard effort on the ground for the Broncos. Remember, no Jamie Collins in that game. Dante Hightower left that game with an injury as well, and that really shifted things because the Patriots were doing a relatively good job against the Broncos and holding that rushing attack at bay until that Hightower injury. By the way, Jerod Mayo out for the season now as a result of an injury he suffered last week against the Chiefs. They will not have his services, which may take away from their defense a little bit, but I think as a whole, they have their guys ready to roll here on Sunday. Then it comes down to this. If you can slow down that running game and put resources into slowing down that running game, this is going to sound crazy, but you got to make number 18 beat you. You have to make Peyton Manning beat you, and that, I think, is one of the interesting storylines in this game, folks, because if you're the Broncos, how do you approach this with Peyton Manning? I think it's very difficult to go into any playoff game where you start jerking quarterbacks in and out of the game, and I think, I know a lot of analysts have talked about this week. I know listening to Scott Zolak, one of the things he had mentioned was that Denver needs to have a quick hook for Manning. And you know, on the surface, I agree with that. But, man, that is a tough spot for Brock Osweiler because, remember, Brock Osweiler was hurt up until last week. Now, he had suffered an injury, a sprained MCL, against the Chargers back on January 3rd. He just returned to practice, I think, on January the 15th. So, I think that's asking a lot if you pull Manning out and put Osweiler in. Having said that, man, I would be tempted to do that if he's healthy because Osweiler can stretch the field. Manning cannot stretch the field. He's not hitting throws downfield. I think he's going to take some shots downfield. He's going to have to. But, man, he's really struggled getting the ball out there downfield, and we've seen it time in and time out this season. He's just not getting the ball out there the way that he used to. And again, I said this before in another podcast weeks ago, he wants to throw to the middle of the field. That's where he wants to throw the ball. So I would think that if you're Belichick of the Patriots, you're going to try to jam him up in the middle and make him throw outside. And that, to me, is a part of the attack here against Manning and that passing offense. On the flip side, for Denver, I think obviously the play of Peyton Manning is paramount, as we just said. He's got to take care of the football. He's only really played a handful of decent games this season, but he's got to take care of the football and then make some plays in the passing game. On top of that, we talked about the run game that has to control the clock for the Broncos. The formula to beat the Patriots is not a wild one. You want to control time of possession, and you want to put pressure on Tom Brady and force some turnovers if possible. Making all of that stuff happen just is not an easy thing to accomplish. So that's, to me, some of the things that Denver needs to look forward to. Obviously, that pass rush with Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, that's going to be huge. Ware did not play in that last game against the Patriots, and Denver still had success putting heat on Tom Brady. So we'll see how it goes. Clearly, one of the wild cards in this game will be Ed Hockley, the controversial referee who has been assigned the game this week for the AFC title game. There was a reader on my blog who posted some comments and a couple posts about Ed Hockley, and he said that Ed Hockley was a racist. And he said he was a racist because of the incident with Cam Newton earlier this season where he told Newton he wasn't old enough to get certain calls. And that is a weird statement. There's no doubt about that. You're an NFL official. You can't tell somebody that. It's interesting that Hockley has officiated 7 Broncos games since 2000, and the Broncos are 7-0. That's weird. I don't know what that means for Sunday, but that is kind of strange that a team has done that well with one guy as an official. Different head coaches over the years, obviously, but still a little weird and off-putting if you're a Patriots fan. No doubt about that. I think the Broncos offensively will have a good game plan. It's just a matter of whether or not they can execute it. Gary Kubiak has a lot of experience against Bill Belichick defenses. He's had some success in the past. He was the offensive coordinator for that Ravens team last year that almost beat the Patriots. So I think, clearly he's a guy who can put stuff together. The question is whether or not it is going to be a plan that can be executed successfully by a quarterback who, quite frankly, is not very good right now. And if they get to the Super Bowl, it's going to be on the back of the defense. And that's what this game comes down to. Now, prediction time. One of these two games, because of a lot of the schematics going into them, somebody's going to play badly. I really believe that. And it's just a hunch. I just think somebody's not going to play well, and I think it's this game. There are certain signs to me that are pointing to Denver winning. I think the Broncos at times will be able to run the football well. But man, I like the fact, if I'm the Patriots, I have my guys back. If I play my game, I'm going to win. The Patriots, man for man, okay, are a better team than the Broncos. Right now, everybody playing the way that they're playing, the Patriots are a better team. But you factor in playing on the road, you factor in some of the other intangibles going into this game, there's no doubt that you would not be, at least I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos won this game by any stretch. But I didn't like how they played last week against Pittsburgh. I thought it was sloppy. I thought it was lackluster. And I thought they were lucky. And teams that get lucky, they have an expiration date in the postseason when they get lucky to that degree. I like the Patriots to win, and I'm going with a score that is unconventional because I don't think these two games are going to be these 27-24, like overtime nail biters or anything like that. I think you're going to get one sloppy wonk game, and I think this is the game. Patriots 30, Broncos 16. I know it's asking a lot for the Patriots to score 30 against the Broncos, but if they take care of business and play their best game, they can win this game. Going away. Game number 2, Arizona at Carolina. You know, Carolina has been a weird second half team at times this year. We've seen them blow big leads. They obviously blew a big lead to the Seahawks last week, nearly, where they were leading 31-0 in the first half and then gave up 24 unanswered points and nearly ended up getting tied in the game by Seattle. So, you know, clearly the mission is pretty simple here for Carolina, and that's finish. You have to finish the job, and you can't get tight, because if you think times are tight now, wait until you get to the Super Bowl in a couple weeks against the Broncos or against the Patriots. You know, times are going to get tight here over the next week or two, and you've got to be able to deal with it. So clearly, the ability to play with a lead and finish successfully going to be paramount for the Carolina Panthers. I think also, you know, you want to limit the plays downfield from Arizona's offense. Arizona's done such a good job this season of finding guys like John Brown. Larry Fitzgerald now has gotten into the mix, certainly running after catch, and also David Johnson as well as a threat out of the backfield to catch passes as well. So if you're Carolina, you have to limit the big plays, and you want to make this an uphill climb. I don't think Arizona can win if this game turns into one of those 14-3, 21-10 games where Carson Palmer is just throwing. I think it's going to be very tough for that Carolina defense to really get over the top against them if you have to constantly come back in the contest. So putting pressure on Arizona's offense early on, I think, will be very important. And if you're Cam Newton, play your game, man. I think, obviously, Cam Newton, when he is able to run the football effectively and add that element of the pass in there, and he's a good passer, there's no doubt about that, this is a very dangerous offense. And that, to me, is going to be one of the areas of concern. Can Arizona put the clamps on Cam Newton and the multi-purpose threat that he can provide for the Carolina offense? I think on the other side of it, too, Arizona, keys to victory for them, no big plays at Ted Ginn Jr. You've got to stop that. You can't give up those home run balls to him. Now, I don't know if he'll catch the home run ball, but you can't give them up and allow Carolina to kind of pick up that scent and momentum. These playoff games, especially championship games, man, we've seen it so many times over the years. These things just snowball on people when things go badly for them. So, you know, you give up a long 50, 60-yard play, even if it's early in the game, that might lead to really a lot of problems for you down the road. Elsewhere, no turnovers. You're on the road. You've got to take care of the football. And obviously, Arizona had some issues with that a little bit last week against Green Bay. So they've got to be able to clean that up. I think getting Larry Fitzgerald involved is going to be key. And if you can establish a running game with David Johnson, Johnson did not run the ball well last week against Green Bay. But if they can establish an attitude with Johnson, I think that can help them out a great deal. You know, you're looking at two teams here in Carolina and Arizona that can run the football, and I think the team that can take that aspect away from the other could very well be the team in line for a victory. And again, going back to the point we brought up near the top of the program, on Sunday at 6:40 in Charlotte, North Carolina, the guy on the field for Arizona has got to be Arizona Carson Palmer. It can't be Cincinnati scared, deer in the headlights Carson Palmer, because that's what we saw against Green Bay. And if you're going to bring that into a road situation and you're fighting for a chance to go to the Super Bowl, that can lead to a lot of problems for your team. So they've got to get him settled early on, I think, and make sure he feels comfortable. Because if Carson Palmer gets on a roll in one of these games, he can be a devastating passer, and I think that's one of the keys, certainly, for Arizona. As a whole, I like Carolina to win the game, 23-20. I think it's their time. You know, going into the playoffs, I've changed my pick so many times because of the circumstances. You know, you look at the injury to Antonio Brown last week or 2 weeks ago, and look at the Ben Roethlisberger situation heading into that game against Denver. That really changed the game. There's no doubt about that. And then, you know, if they're healthy, they probably win that game last week, and they're playing New England. Who knows what would have happened even in Foxborough against a Patriots secondary that I think the Steelers could have had some success against. But you know, just seeing Arizona last week, that really bothered me. I didn't like what they provided to the table. I'm going to go with Carolina. I like them 23-20 in a close ball game. And with that, that brings us to the end of the line here on the JMRA podcast. That will do it. We will join you again on Monday morning with the recap and talking about some early thoughts on Super Bowl 50. Will it be Carolina-Denver or Carolina-New England or Arizona-New England or Arizona-Denver? Either way, it should be a good time, except if it's Carolina-Denver. That game's going to be horrible if that's the case. That's not going to be fun for anybody. It's just going to be like 50 runs for each side. It'll be a quick game. You'll get on with the rest of your night pretty fairly, but I would not enjoy that game at all. Anyhow, plenty of time to worry about that. You can check us out on Twitter at Joe M's Right Arm. Also on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. On Vine by searching Joe Montana's Right Arm. And the same for Facebook. That'll do it. Enjoy Championship Sunday. Until next time, happy football, everybody.